These brainwave patterns could explain why so many traumatized people have trouble learning from experience and fully engaging in their daily lives. Their brains are not organized to pay careful attention to what is going on in the present moment. Sandy McFarland's study reminded me of what Pierre Janet had said back in 1889. Traumatic stress is an illness of not being able to be fully alive in the present. Years later, when I saw the movie The Hurt Locker, which dealt with the experiences of soldiers in Iraq, I immediately recalled Sandy's study. As long as they were coping with extreme stress, these men performed with pinpoint focus. But back in civilian life, they were overwhelmed having to make simple choices in a supermarket. We are now seeing alarming statistics about the number of returning combat veterans who enroll in college on the GI Bill but do not complete their degrees. Some estimates are over 80%. Their well-documented problems with focusing and attention are surely contributing to these poor results. McFarland's study clarified a possible mechanism for the lack of focus and attention in PTSD, but it also presented a whole new challenge. Was there any way to change these dysfunctional brainwave patterns? It was 7 years before I learned that there might be ways to do that. In 2007, I met Seaburn Fisher at a conference on attachment disordered children. Seaburn was the former clinical director of a residential treatment center for severely disturbed adolescents, and she told me that she'd been using neurofeedback in her private practice for about 10 years. She showed me before and after drawings made by a 10-year-old. This boy had had such severe temper tantrums, learning disabilities, and overall difficulties with self-organization that he could not be handled in school. His first family portrait, drawn before treatment started, was at the developmental level of a 3-year-old. Less than 5 weeks later, after 20 sessions of neurofeedback, his tantrums had decreased, and his drawing showed a marked improvement in complexity. 10 weeks and another 20 sessions later, his drawing took another leap in complexity, and his behavior normalized. I had never come across a treatment that could produce such a dramatic change in mental functioning in so brief a period of time. So when Seaburn offered to give me a neurofeedback demonstration, I eagerly accepted.